Welcome to the C3 Church Camden podcast. For more information about our church, please visit www.c3wc.com. We are so thrilled that you're listening today, and we hope you enjoy the message.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks, team, for leading us in worship so beautifully today. And thank you, Brian, for that, just leading us in that time of remembrance. And it's a special day for Brian. It's also his birthday today. So poor Brian, every time on his birthday, we get him to do the ANZAC, but it's because he does it so well. He just leads us in that place of remembrance, and being his birthday and part Aussie, part Kiwi, then he's just full Kiwi. We claim he was part Aussie, so that's all right. there's no better person. So thank you, Brian, for that. We are continuing on in our relationship series, and I'm so glad, Michael, you just drew the attention to that, spending time in just seeking that word for God. Tonight, I want to do something a little bit different through the way that we go through this message tonight. I want it to be an interactive message, and by that I don't mean you've got to come up on stage or do things, but there are going to be spaces throughout this message today where I'm going to invite you to do exactly what Michael just said, to spend time with God and to reflect on this bit of scripture that we just read, and to just spend time saying, God, how does that relate to me? What does that mean to me? And so it will be a little bit different. So that will be whatever you make of that. And I encourage you, don't feel weird about it. You can close your eyes if you like. You can be in a posture of prayer in that time, or you can just sit and be in that space. But tonight I am finishing off our relationship series. And Pastor Ron last week started talking about boundaries, and I'm going to be doing the second half of that. And I have called the message tonight, Boundaries, Barriers and Bulldozers. And Pastor Ron laid out last week this concept of boundaries. And I just did a really quick recap because I don't want to spend too much time on that, and you can go back and listen to that message. But this concept of boundaries, you know, boundaries are created when we know whose we are and who we are. When we know whose we are, that we belong to God, and we know who we are as a person who has been created by Him. Boundaries show a desire to have healthy relationships, not just here in the moment, but a framework for having healthy relationships into the future. And they help us know where we have control and responsibility and when we don't. And Pastor Ron laid that out so beautifully last week, to say there's some things we just don't have control and responsibility over, and that's okay. I came across a quote this week. It says, boundaries aren't to push others away. Boundaries are to help hold me together. I wonder if you've thought about it in that way. Boundaries are there to help hold me together. There is wholeness when we live in healthy boundaries. Boundaries aren't meant for restriction or for withholding things from us, but they're a place of security. And they're a place where we can experience freedom. When we become a Christian, when we decide to follow Jesus, our boundaries become defined by two things: our dependence on God and our interdependence with each other, with the body of Christ, with our church family. And that's what we've been focusing on a lot in this relationship series, is this interdependence between the body of Christ and what that looks like to walk out relationships in a new way, in a kingdom-minded way. But I want to finish this series off by taking our eyes off the horizontal, off the interdependence of each other, and focus on the vertical, focus on the relationship that we have with God. Because that relationship that we have with God, that's the ultimate relationship that everything else flows out of, that everything flows out of. And I want us to get really real today. I want us to look more deeply into that, because I think that everyone struggles with boundaries. Our struggle with boundaries comes to the core of our wrestle with one question. It's the wrestle with the one question that says, do I really trust Him? Do I really trust Him? And if we're honest, I know that every single person in this room has been in a space at some point in time and said, do I really trust him? Do I really trust that God is good? That God is a safe place? That God has my best interests in mind? That God loves me and sees me? Do I trust that God has purpose and provision for me? So as I said at the beginning, I want today to create some space for us to explore those questions, for you to explore those questions in your own heart, and to do that with God. I want to give space for you to ask, do I trust your boundaries for me, God? Or am I building a barrier? There it is, barriers. Am I building a barrier between you and me as a way to keep you out? Or God, am I bulldozing down your boundaries to look for what I need elsewhere? So just before we start, I just want to pray for us together. I want us to pray that that would be the desire of our heart, that we'd be open to God speaking to us in that place. So let's just pray as we start. God, I thank you that you are in this place. You promised to be with us. God, I thank you and praise you that just as Michael said, God, that you have a word for each of us, God, that you desire to meet us in this place. You desire to speak to us and to lead us closer to you, God, wherever we are, whether we feel like we are far away or whether we already feel like we are close to you, God, draw us to yourself through your Holy Spirit today. Amen. So we're going to be looking through a passage of scripture today, which I believe looks at these concepts, boundaries, barriers, and bulldozers. We're going to be looking at Isaiah chapter 30. We're going to be journeying through this chapter. And it shows that struggling with the issue of boundaries, it's not a new thing. It's kind of comforting in a way. This struggle with boundaries, it's not a new thing. It's been around since through the entire scripture, really, through all the way back to the story of the Garden of Eden. And while this story in Isaiah 30, it looks at this boundaries in relation to an entire nation, the entire nation of Israel, it gives us this picture of an age-old problem of humanity, this wrestle and rebellion that comes with boundaries and with barriers and with bulldozers. So we're going to start by looking at the beginning of Isaiah chapter 30, where we look at this description of being a bulldozer. So we're going to read Isaiah 30, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Woe to the obstinate children, declares the Lord, to those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming an alliance, but not by my spirit, heaping sin upon sin, who go down to Egypt without consulting me, who look for help to Pharaoh, for Pharaoh's protection, to Egypt's shade for refuge." And here he's talking about Israel, the nation of Israel. They had started to feel unsafe and they had started to feel insecure. Nations around them were forming alliances and aligning with Egypt for protection. And they said they started to feel unsafe in that and thought, maybe we should do that too. They started to doubt that their needs were going to be met. They started to fear displacement. They started to compare themselves with the circumstances of others. And what Egypt had to offer, it looked enticing. It looked like a good place of refuge. And even though they had, as a nation, they had this knowledge of the history that Egypt had with the history of Israel, that they had been in captivity and oppression and slavery. And still, even with that knowledge, they looked towards Egypt for refuge and for safety. They looked to have their needs met outside of God's provision. This is what we do as bulldozers. We go outside the boundary, we knock those fences down that were meant for our protection and for our wholeness in order to meet our needs. We can bulldoze down that boundary line because we have a perceived sense of lack, or we are fearful, we worry about displacement or insecurity, or we start to compare ourselves with others. Does it sound familiar? And instead of looking towards God to meet our needs, we can go looking for our needs in other people and other things. Can you think of times where you might have done this? I wonder what your list would look like. And just so you don't feel weird about thinking about a list, I'm going to share some of mine. Times when I've done this, when I've been a bulldozer, I've looked for validation in those around me instead of being confident in who God says that I am. I saw it sometimes as the job of those people around me to make me feel better or to feel included. I searched for unhealthy ways to be loved or to feel like I was in control of my life. I might have used jobs or projects or being productive to give me a sense of self-satisfaction and a sense of meaning and of purpose. At times I found my importance in and my identity in roles and positions that I might have as a mum or as a wife or as a pastor or as a leader. I wonder what your list looks like. And this is the first space that I want to give you. We're just going to take 30 seconds or so. I invite you just to close your eyes and to ask God the question, God, when have I been a bulldozer? When have I looked outside of your provision for my needs? So Holy Spirit, just come speak to us in this moment. Thank you, God. Sometimes you might see that when we bulldoze this boundary with God, we often bulldoze the boundary lines between us and other people. And sometimes, just like Israel did, who knew that this alliance with Egypt was an unhealthy one. They knew that. They knew the history. They still formed the alliance. We too can sometimes tolerate an unhealthy relationship dynamic in our own life, out of fear of what might happen if we actually called it out, if we actually put a boundary up to say that that's not okay. Sometimes we may find ourselves in situations where we actually enable or even overlook that another person's unhealthy behavior, because by doing so, it kind of meets our needs. It meets something in us. It might be emotional, physical, even spiritual needs. It might look like getting enmeshed in dysfunctional relationships. That means not knowing where we end and where someone else begins. It might be that we tolerate mistreatment from people out of the hope of being loved. It might be that we go to rescue other people from the consequences of their irresponsible behavior. It can be so hard for us to say no, even though in our inner sense we know we don't have the resource or the capacity to help somebody. We might feel more comfortable giving to others rather than receiving from them. We might constantly worry about other people's opinions of us. How is it for you that you see maybe this bulldozing of boundaries with God has resulted in bulldozing of boundaries with other people? Again, I just invite you, take 30 seconds or so, ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, where do I have these unhealthy alliances in my life? Where have I bulldozed down the boundaries between me and other people?
Thank you.
It goes on in Isaiah chapter 30, verses 3 to 5. It says, "But Pharaoh's protection will be to your shame. Egypt's shade will bring you disgrace. Though they have officials in Zoan and their envoys have arrived in Hanes, everyone will be put to shame because the people are useless to them, who bring neither help nor advantage, only shame and disgrace." God wanted Israel to know that looking outside his boundary for them would not bring them the satisfaction that they so desired. That would not bring them the safety that they wanted to have. Egypt looked like they had it all together. They looked like they had everything to offer. But God said, you know, they can't deliver. He said making that alliance was useless to them. It could not meet their needs as a nation. They would be left disappointed. They would be left unfulfilled in an alliance that actually started to blur their self-identity. They wouldn't know who they were anymore. Going outside this dependence on God, going outside of God's provision, it might look impressive and it might serve a purpose to meet our needs for a period of time. But over time that we see that it doesn't bring either help or advantage. Those words in verse 5 where it says it brings shame and disgrace. And we have a thought of what that means. But actually when those words are used together in this passage, it means that these unhealthy alliances brought with them a sense of abandonment, brought with them a sense of confusion, of disappointment. It literally means it deceived the hope of the worshippers. I wonder if you've ever felt like that, as you've put your hope in something else outside of God's provision. Do you feel like that hope was deceived? Were you left wanting? Were you left feeling abandoned or disappointed? And I want to say, if you are in that place today, where the Holy Spirit might have shown you areas where you've bulldozed down those boundary lines, you've gone outside of that realm of trusting Him, because we all have. We all have at some point in time. That He's inviting you back. He's inviting you back. And He has a promise for you on your return. But what about instead of the times we've been bulldozing, what about these barriers? It goes on in verse 8. It says, "Go, now write it on a tablet for them. Inscribe it on a scroll, that for the days to come it may be an everlasting witness. For these are rebellious people, deceitful children, children unwilling to listen to the Lord's instructions. They say to the seers, 'No more visions, no more visions.' And to the prophets, 'Give us no more visions of what is right. Tell us pleasant things. Prophesy illusions. Leave this way. Get off the path and stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel.'" I remember when I read this for the first time, I went, wow, that is such strong imagery, and it's hard for us to put ourselves in that place. But it paints a picture of a nation that just wanted to block out God's voice. They wanted to build up these walls, build up these barriers of protection, and they wanted to make their own calls about what was right. And really, that's the story of all of us, isn't it? It's all of us at some time. And why did Israel do this? Because they only wanted to hear pleasant things. Can you relate to that? You only want to hear pleasant things. How many times do we, out of fear or mistrust, we don't want to hear the unpleasant things. We don't want to do the hard stuff. Israel didn't want to be confronted by the choice that might disrupt their comfort. They were much happier not hearing God's voice, so they could live in denial and kind of with their fingers in their ears and not have to change. Yeah, these barriers, though, they're created from a place of fear and of separation. How many times do we, out of fear or mistrust or perceived hurt or discomfort or denial or self-protection, do we want to build up those barriers that we want to put a barrier between us and God because we don't want to listen to His voice, because that might mean we have to walk through some hard things. I've been there. I've been there a lot. You know, at times I've avoided reading the Word. At times I've avoided praying because I knew that spending time in the Word or spending time in prayer would mean that God would speak to me and that I'd have to respond. So I avoided that. Times when I've blocked God out of areas of my life because I didn't want to do anything about it. Times when I've built up a wall between me and God because to give up the way that I was traveling on, I knew that that would be painful. I knew that that would bring grief. And I didn't want that. And what if I made that choice, I was left disappointed? What if God left me high and dry? It comes back to that question of, did I really trust God? I'm going to invite you again, just in this space, to close your eyes and to ask that question of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, where at times have I built barriers to keep your voice out? Show us, God, reveal to us those places that we're keeping you out of. Even with such harsh language in this chapter, God in His mercy does not allow these barriers to stand between us and Him or between Himself and the nation of Israel. In verse 12, we see this. It says, "Therefore, this is what the Holy One of Israel says. Because you have rejected this message, relied on oppression and depended on deceit, this sin will become like for you, like a high wall." There's that barrier. The sin will become like a high wall, cracked and bulging, that collapses suddenly in an instant. It will break in pieces like pottery, shattering so mercilessly that among its pieces not a fragment will be found for taking coals from a hearth or scooping water out of a cistern. Even when we build barriers, God does not stop pursuing us. He doesn't want a wall to stand between us and Him because He knows that that wall, even though we think it's keeping us protected, it's ultimately keeping us from being whole, healed, and free. And you notice in these verses that God's anger here doesn't seem directed at the people building the wall, but it's directed at the wall itself. He smashes it into pieces that not even the smallest fragment can be used for anything purposeful. He will keep doing whatever it takes to knock down that barrier and to rescue us from behind it. Just like the bulldozers, God invites barrier builders to come home. God goes on in this chapter to remind Israel of His promise. After pointing that out, He goes on to remind of this amazing promise, reminding him that His healthy boundary is the place where of their rest, of their protection, of their safety, their security and their identity, and it's there for them if they wanted to come back to it. Verse 15, it says this. It says, "This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel says, in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and in trust is your strength." Verse 18, it says, "Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, He will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice, and blessed are those who wait for Him." Verse 19, it goes, "People of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. how gracious He will be when you cry for help. As soon as He hears, He will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way. Walk in it." This is the way. Walk in it. No more confusion. They would have clarity. No more fear of being left without, or no shame in being left alone. They would have what they needed. And it goes on, we're not going to read the verses, but you can have a look. It goes on in the next verses to describe this place of abundance, of how they would see the abundance of God that flow out as they came back to Him in repentance and rest and in quietness and trust. There would be an abundance for their fields and for their harvest, and for everything that they needed would be found within the boundary with God. Coming back to that place of dependence on God, that was the boundary that God had created for them. That would reestablish their identity, that would give them an assurance, and that they would live out of a place of trust. It would be their healing. It would be their salvation. That word salvation comes from a root word of saying it would be their healing balm. It would bring healing to them. It would once again be their place of provision. In just a moment, we're going to enter into communion together. This time of communion, as we celebrate this together as a body of Christ, it's a time of remembering what Jesus did for us on the cross. And it's a time of rededication for us to live a cruciform life, a life where we are saying, "Yeah, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to be part of that. I am all in with that." But in this place of communion today, I believe it's also God's invitation for you to come back into a place of dependence on Him. That wherever He may have shown you those places where you might have bulldozed down boundaries, where you might have built up barriers, that God is saying, you can come home. He is saying to you that in repentance and rest will be your salvation. In quietness and in trust, it will be your strength. That the Lord longs to be gracious to you, that He will rise up and He will show you compassion. That whether you turn to the right or to the left, even though in the past you may have had confusion, that He is saying to you now, you will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way. Walk in it." And maybe it's for the first time today that you're doing that. And maybe you're returning home. You've done that before, but you're returning home. But He's inviting you to trust that within the safety of His boundaries for you, there is rest, there is protection, there is purpose, there is freedom, and there is everything that you need. So just before we take communion together, I want to invite you again just to close your eyes where you are. Because coming home first means that we need to stop and we need to turn around. And just like the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15, I want you to imagine, I want you to engage your imagination a bit here. I want you to imagine that after a time of bulldozing or after a time of building barriers, you are on your way home. You are walking up that long, dusty road towards a home that you know is a place of safety that you left. That once upon a time there was a mistrust. There was a question of, do I really trust that? But as you walk up that road, you reflect on where you've been. You may know that you've built barriers up in your life. Barriers between you and other people. Barriers between you and God. You may have built up walls of protection that are designed to keep people out. They might have been formed from fear or from anxiety, out of insecurity and mistrust. They might have been formed to prevent discomfort and change. Or you may know that you have bulldozed down those fences, looking to the needs of other things, looking to have your needs met in other things and other people other than the Father. You've held on to and you've enabled relationships that are unhealthy because you are fearful of what might happen if you were to let them go. You're afraid of what other people might think if you said no. Or if you've kept quiet just to avoid conflict or to keep the peace. You may have prevented others from walking in the consequences of their behavior because you were worried about how that might affect you, or you might have just been worried about being seen as a failure. You've maybe tried to control others to relieve that sense of being out of control in your own world. You might have become so enmeshed in the identity of others that you've just forgotten who you are. But walking up that dusty road, you look up and you see the Father. You see Him looking back at you. His arms are open wide and He's welcoming you home. He's inviting you back in that front gate, back inside the safety of His boundary, inviting you back into the boundary of your home with Him. He's inviting you back into that place that holds you together. The Father greets you and He embraces you, and you feel the love of one who does not condemn you. But He's waited for you, and He is so glad that you're home. He leads you to a table where He invites you to sit with Him, to commune with Him in fullness of relationship. As you sit, you feel the rest, you feel the safety, you feel the trust, because you now have a deep assurance that despite where you've been, you know that this is the place for you. A place where He will bind up the bruises from your wandering, and He will heal the wounds of your rebellion. If you just take your communion, as you picture that, picture you eating this communion in the presence at that table with a Father who loves you and with a Father who has welcomed you home. Father, we eat and we drink with you here. We take the bread and the juice in remembrance of Jesus. We eat of the bread and we drink of the juice as we declare once again that we are home with you, that we are fully dependent on you and interdependent on our brothers and sisters in this family, and that we are now in a love that brings health and it brings wholeness. Father, thank you for your provision. Thank you that we can trust you. Thank you that we can be dependent on you. Thank you that we can find ourselves in your purpose, and we can find our joy and our freedom from all the things that weigh us down. Thank you, God.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from our church. We hope you'll stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram by searching C3 Church Camden.